Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Girls, it's episode 16s, and how lucky are we to be living in the time of Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? It's not necessarily Abraham Lincoln shopping at Versace o'clock, but there is something so wonderful about watching Salt Lake City this season, because I don't know, it might just be me, but I really don't have any idea whatsoever what the fuck is going to happen. I have no idea what direction the cast is going to go in, what direction group events are going to go in. It's, you know, I was thinking about that phrase, you know, the sum of something is greater than its parts. And with Salt Lake City, sure, the sum is wonderful, but these individual pieces, these personalities are just not like inexplicable. Just everyone is so unique and specific. And it almost feels like a miracle how well this works, especially when you see, God forbid, you know, trigger warning, New New York. It can go in so many different directions. And there's just something honestly magical about what the fuck is happening in Salt Lake City, because it's not all zaniness. There's also real stuff here to unpack, like Angie K's vulnerability on this episode, talking about her relationship to her mother when she was a child, the memory of her mom, a feeling of separation and almost like stillness when she thinks of her mom without feeling emotion, how that is impacting her healing her own trauma through parenting Electra, having a conversation with her father where he's acknowledging her memories and the reality of what their family went through. That's some like really intense shit. So we have that. Then we have an entirely different framework, but also, God forbid, maybe real, the like Todd Bronwyn dynamics. And then we have the crazy Mary. I don't mean crazy Mary as in like Mary is crazy. I mean like the crazy luncheon at Mary's, which was so wild and not, I want to say it was like almost theatrical, but I don't think anyone was really performing. I mean, yeah. Was there a little performance from the cameras for Heather Sure, was Britney doing the absolute most? Absolutely. But I do also feel like there's real friction here. Like Heather and Bronwyn do not fuck with each other. I really do not think that Heather has an interest in understanding Bronwyn's perspective, because Heather has decided she knows who Bronwyn is because of who she married, and that is her identity. And also, perhaps Bronwyn did not pay Heather the due diligence and respect of joining her quote-unquote friend circle, which has historically been Heather Gay's friend circle. And I feel like that is impacting a lot here. And I'm bouncing off the walls. I'm going all over the place, but welcome to Annie's Girls. The way that the episode started and has been ongoing with Lisa and Heather talking about essentially Bronwyn not getting it and Lisa feeling like she's trapped and being penalized for, God forbid, her own actual behavior is fascinating to me. Because I feel like Lisa and Heather have created an echo chamber when it comes to talking about Bronwyn, where neither of them have to take any kind of responsibility for anything. And their perception of Bronwyn in the most negative way matches up absolutely with, you know, their expectation of our reality. That was very wordy. It feels like Bronwyn, I don't think Bronwyn is getting a fair shake. And I understand, like, I remember at the beginning of the season, I was like, what's going on with this lady? I didn't totally understand her. And do I think she went a little extra hard at points? 1000%. I also, to my core, I genuinely don't think that Britney did anything wild at the Bezos party. I think this is the conversation happening on Beverly Hills that maybe members of the cast don't want to have on Salt Lake City, which is, what's the difference between manipulation and miscommunication? The thing that you can say about Britney is she makes terrible choices in her life that are incredibly counterproductive, self-sabotaging, maybe selfish, whatever else. There's a lot there to unpack. And also, she does give sort of JV energy trying out for the varsity team, and it's just never going to happen. So I feel like the presentation of some of this when it comes to Bronwyn, when it comes to Britney, of like, they're only behaving in, this is maybe less Britney and more Bronwyn, but more behaving in a manner of manipulation versus miscommunication, where we're getting into this intent versus impact area. Britney, actually circling back to Britney, her intent was to seemingly criticize Mary when I think, and Mary's childhood, when I think Britney genuinely misinterpreted and miscommunicated when she was talking about their outfits as costumes. I don't think she had any ill intent. And I think that matters. Like, it, I think it should matter. But then you have to counter it with her being kind of a mess and performing at the end of that luncheon and saying, what about me? I mean, she is... she is sort of, I hate to say it, wonderful television, because it's giving flop. And I don't, no disrespect to Angie K, but it's sort of, to me, giving early days Angie K, when we had The Tale of Two Angies and some of us thought that Angie Harrington was going to be the superstar. There was just that expectation, and Angie K felt kind of like loopier, quirkier in a way that might not stick. And guess what? Angie K turned around and ended up being, I think, an incredible, fascinating, hilarious, earnest at points, interesting, more nuanced than we were let on initially, reality television personality and character. And I mean, Angie Harrington, never seen again, except I guess on her yacht. With the personalities involved in this cast right now, it just feels like this is so fucking unique. And I can't even imagine a world in which any of these people are in any other franchise. Like, there's this whole back and forth of what to do with Dubrow. But with this cast, it just feels exactly right as it is. And the Bronwyn factor is, I feel more connected to her now than I did when she first joined the cast, where I was like, it feels like you're giving me a little too much. And what is so valuable about Bronwyn is what she is pulling out of Heather Gay. Because I genuinely think that Heather Gay is still approaching this as, I'm the Greek chorus, I'm the voice of the audience, and I get to decide what people are going to think of this new woman. Like, I really do think that there's an edge there of, if we don't fuck with each other, I am going to have some things to say. And Heather Gay is in an absolute alpha role in this ensemble cast. Has been, although I would also argue her maybe power with the audience has waned a little bit. But honestly, I actually don't even know how much, because what people say online isn't emblematic of the Bravo audience as a whole. And I really don't know how far Heather Gay has fallen, if at all, with like the larger, greater Bravo audience. For me personally, yes, she's fallen pretty hard. She's fallen pretty fucking hard. But she still has great moments. I just don't think of her. I think of her as more complicated, more strategic, more manipulative. And that maybe could potentially, a person could argue that could make her performance on this show more interesting. She's not just coming in thrilled to be there. You know, like, I got the golden ticket. She feels like someone who is a little bit cannier about what she is doing on this show than maybe I initially would have given her credit for. Or maybe that's just how she's kind of aged into this. And I mean, shout out someone who is spiritually mid-20s plus. The way she was like, you couldn't have purchased my flight ticket because I have lied to every single person about my birthday. What? That was an iconic moment. Heather Gay, still quick as can be, can still deliver a moment, a line, an insult with such speed and such, God, intelligence. Like, her toast shading Bronwyn of, what was it? It was like, thank you so much for including everyone, which we know is important, which we know did not happen on the Palm Desert trip. The way she said that, like, kind of, I think she was nodding as she said it. There was so much ease. And I actually felt kind of lightness about how she was delivering that line, knowing it was going to land toward Bronwyn with a fucking thud. That was genuinely super entertaining, where I'm like, oh, this is going to go nowhere fast because Heather hates this woman. Like, the thing that I'm not getting about the Heather-Bronwyn dynamic is I don't see Heather genuinely acknowledging that she doesn't like Bronwyn, and there's probably not a lot Bronwyn could do to change her mind. Heather talking about the fact that she's upset she wasn't invited on the trip because she was missing out on her friends is such a selective memory to me. When you think about her last conversation with Bronwyn, which was Heather being like, I'm so upset. I think she said something along the lines of like, I'm so upset I could throw up. Like, she's stalking out of this woman's house. Their sit down did not go well. So now the argument becomes, well, how much did Bronwyn want Heather to go on the trip? Why is Bronwyn being criticized against whether or not she wanted Heather to be there when their very last conversation was a huge chaotic shit show? So why does Bronwyn need to sort of bow down to Heather and make sure that she's aware that she was wanted when Heather didn't want to be there to begin with? Like, yes, is the sit down, speaking of manipulative versus miscommunication, is a sit down where Bronwyn is dangling the carrot of, I'm hosting a trip and I'd like for you to go, but not if we're having issues with each other. Is that manipulative? Like, sure, you could see that. But also, Heather does not like this person. So why is this so weighed against whether or not Bronwyn has hope for their friendship when there has been such a big fracture or series of fractures? It's fascinating to me. And also, Lisa still doesn't seem to understand why calling Heather and making a production at Bronwyn's hosted trip out of Heather not being there and making that into a moment was a bad decision. If you want to be cool with Bronwyn, it was selfish and greedy and great TV, but like not something you're doing while being upset that you feel like you're being asked to pick sides, or like I'm Bronwyn's forcing me to be in the middle of this and I don't want to be involved. Then you wouldn't have, if you didn't want to be involved, you don't call Heather on speakerphone seemingly minutes into this weekend, not staycation, weekend vacation in Palm Desert. You wouldn't have done that if you didn't want to be in the middle. If you didn't want to be in the middle, you wouldn't be in the middle. I mean, the argument here is like, you're not enough in the middle. You're tilting so hard in Team Heather's direction that Bronwyn is seemingly just trying to catch up. Like, some of their conversations with each other, Heather and Lisa, it's just like they're getting off of each other's energies and they're parroting the same kind of reality to each other that I don't think entirely exists. So then you see Bronwyn when you meet up with her and you already feel like, well, I have a chip on my shoulder because I did something that upset her that was probably not appropriate, certainly not quote unquote polite. And she's upset about that. So how dare Bronwyn be so mad? Versus, wow, okay, maybe me calling Heather was just adding on a reason for Bronwyn to feel like her role as my friend wasn't being respected. Like, the complete obliviousness to that is something. Also, we don't really need to get into this, but the coach conversation is nuts. I was literally I'm just a gal on Google Flights trying to find her way. The fact, I'm looking for flights and it's like, you find one flight here, one flight there, and the difference of $100 is huge. I am a coach flyer. I don't think of a world outside of economy. My conversation with myself is like, where can you find an economy seat on whatever flight that, you know, feels like something that you can possibly one day afford? Where for me, my level of bouginess is like wanting to pick an airline that makes me feel safe. I'm not thinking to my, well, of course, but I don't have Lisa Barlow's life in any sense of the word. So like, I get it, but there's something so wild. This isn't even an international flight. It was a 67-minute flight from Palm Desert to Salt Lake City, and everyone is losing their fucking minds about a huge sign of disrespect in, I guess, Bronwyn and Todd allowing themselves to sit in first and the plane not having enough seats for everyone else. It's truly wild. It is so unbelievably disrespectful, full stop. The lack of appreciation by Lisa, she's trying to rope in Angie K on this. I felt for Angie, honestly, because the flashback didn't support, I don't think, Lisa's perspective that Angie was upset about Coach. If Angie was upset about Coach, she did a much better job of hiding it. I think Angie was more like, I don't know where Sean's going to be. Where are you? Uh-oh. Like, I'm in 19D. You're in 17C. Whatever. It didn't feel like Angie was truly spiraling in the way that Lisa did, which had me concerned for Lisa. You're saying out loud, I would rather go to Los Angeles so that she can, I guess, fly out of there back to Salt Lake. Isn't time money at a certain point? You guys are successful entrepreneurs, business people. Why would you want to waste that amount of time so that someone can serve you a better prepared Diet Coke? Like, is it in a fancier cup? What are we doing here? It would have just been a trip home. How did this become so big a thing that it's carrying over now and Bronwyn is still being criticized for it? For I mean, no good deed goes unpunished. Bronwyn's decision to use the two then available first class seats and giving them to the two single ladies, including the person she actually the two people she has the most problems with at that point, Brittany and Heather. This is why we can't have nice things when it comes to our frenemies, because those people do not trust her intentions, certainly do not want to help you look good or charitable, and are going to drag you whenever they possibly can. I mean, poor sweet Brittany is just trying to catch up. Poor Brittany. It's about what about me? It's giving what about Bob? Poor. What about Bob and Brittany? It's tough. It's rough, tough stuff. I love her so much. It doesn't make sense. There's no way for me to describe it except to say she's such a unique character. Do you know how hard it is to be a unique character on The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City? And yet here we are once again. I don't know how they're finding these people. I don't know. Whoever is in casting should be nominated for when the Oscars actually have the Academy Award. And this is television. I'm skipping over the EGOT and going straight to just give them an Oscar and let them go on with their lives, because there's something so incredible about the craftsmanship around the Salt Lake City cast, where Brittany somehow at moments seems like the most chaotic personality, but then you think of everybody else and what various people are fighting over, and it's like, how does that even make sense? There's no way she could be the most chaotic person. Is she even in the top five? If there are 11 people at a table, like, is she gonna make top 10? I don't know. And yet when she does things, I am entranced. I can't figure it out. And also, I would have given, if Brittany had had a Patreon, I would have given any amount of money in the world to watch her watch this episode and see the reveal that Jared is sliding into Mary's DMs to let her know he appreciates her as, like, what did it say? Like the child of God. What is this man doing? He is so desperate to be on TV. Apologies to Mary, but like, she gets that it doesn't make sense, that it's super fucking weird that he's messaging her out of nowhere to compliment her about her religious dedication or something. What's the point of that? Like, is it because they saw each other at the at Angie K's anniversary party and he's just following up? I couldn't tell you. I have no idea. But it is, to me, just another indicator that this man is absolutely out of his mind, full of shit. And I hope that poor, sweet, broken bird Brittany is paying attention, which I can guarantee she is not. The number one thing that my mom wants is for me to connect with the son of a woman who sold her a couch. The number two thing she wants is for me to, obviously, give her a call and find a way to keep our memories close. So luckily, this holiday season, I have given her the gift of an Aura digital picture frame. It's another amazing way to stay in touch. I live in New York City. The fam lives in RI. And while my mom wants me to visit every day if I could, there are ways to keep us connected. And of course, I've been known to send my mom throwback pics of us, Jeff and I as kids, nights that my mom and I have had out here in New York when she's come to visit, and I know that those memories are meaningful. Aura Frames was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, and Fast Company said the simple, stylish digital picture frame can replace social media in your life. So the next time you need to call your mom, BCC the Tobes, you can also send her a new pic of you from that trip you're telling her all about right from your phone. For a limited time, visit AuraFrames.com and get $45 off Aura's best-selling Carver Matte Frames by using promo code AndysGirls at checkout. That's AuraFrames.com, promo code AndysGirls. This exclusive Black Friday Cyber Monday deal is their best of the year, so don't miss out. Terms and conditions apply. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com. Do you like free stuff? Well, you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now, and they are giving away free gifts with purchase. That's right. I have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year. If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, manage stress, balance hormones, improve mood, feel refreshed, all in one bottle. You can only get this exclusive deal through my link special for AGs. Go to buyoptimizers.com/andysgirls and use code andysgirls to get your discount and free gifts today. And one last thing you should all know, all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked. Again, the link to go right now for the exclusive code is buyoptimizers.com/andysgirls using code andysgirls. But that scene at the table, like the Bronwyn-Heather dynamic, Heather just trying to call Bronwyn the epitome of arrogance, which is what I think she was suggesting with all of this stuff, first class. And it takes some real chutzpah to try to penalize Bronwyn relating to whether or not a person is sitting in first class and you weren't even there and the seat would have been yours. Truly punishing this woman for attempting to like do the thing to make you feel slightly better, either because she doesn't want to fuck with you ordinarily or because it's a couple's trip. You would have been the only two single women on the trip and she wanted you to feel a little bit better. Again, it's a 67-minute flight, so who even fucking cares? Heather so swiftly sliding into this is such a great insult is so wild because I'm concerned that she actually believes it. But then the response, which was so good and so powerful and so inspiring, why did you book yourself in first? Because it was my goddamn credit card. Heather Gay has met her match. And Bronwyn, to me, I really am easing into her as the episodes go on. Like, I find myself liking her and enjoying her more and more. But she fucking gets it. And it's the thing with Heather Gay that has helped her and probably hurt her enemies at whatever point is that Heather is really quick and she's very good with her words. She can be extraordinarily cutting. And so to see her try to go toe to toe with this person and this person have zesty, sassy responses is what I want to see. Like, this is giving me Godzilla versus a fucking dinosaur or whatever. Like, this is giving me, this is an even match. The thing that then becomes complicated is that Heather then relies so hard on trying to talk shit about Bronwyn because of this whole prenup mishigas, where I'm like, how is this? How is one of these things leading to another? You haven't even seen Todd's interactions with Bronwyn, and there's a lot there to unpack. So to say that you already do not trust or respect this man or Bronwyn's decision because he chose not to sign a prenup. Why can't we get past that? It doesn't make sense. And then Heather's saying, well, here are the three reasons why I feel like he's not worth in a minute of my time. Number one, did she not mention the prenup? I think she did, which is a wild thing to bring up over and over again about someone who is quite obviously not even a friend. Like, you can't argue. Her primary argument is like, that's bad business strategy. And every relationship I consider a potential legally binding document. So what are we even trying? You're not in this marriage. You're not in this relationship. Why do you care so much about the prenup? Why do you need to use that as the identifier? It doesn't make sense. To reference the Starbucks mugs did take me aback. I actually thought we have so little of Todd right now that leans into quirk that this is one of his better qualities, that he has a hobby and goes to Starbucks and picks up a mug wherever he does work, everywhere in the entire universe, over and over again. My number one issue with that would be storage, but that doesn't seem to be an issue. They have more money than God. Apologies to God, but I mean, God is also nodding. If Bronwyn doesn't have a problem with it, I mean, like, you walk into that house, it's colorful, it's chaotic, it's zany. The mug thing doesn't stick out to me as being especially wild. So to pick that, like cherry pick that as the moment that shows that he's like not worth your time because he's, I guess, too quirky or something, not great. The third point, he is an asshole and, you know, wants couples to leave on the trip. Yeah, I could understand Heather saying that based on what she heard from Lisa. Looking back at that moment, did Todd do too much by defending his wife and saying, if you guys can't figure this out, you gotta go? I don't know. I mean, he said worse stuff since, so maybe that has just risen above. My issue with Todd is I can't stop thinking about Shane Simpson and how much I hated Shane his first season. Shane, who's like one of my favorite house husbands of any franchise now. I really did not understand him. And I think a big part of that was like, obviously they were having communication issues and he was being a shit to his wife at many points. But also he was very uncomfortable being on TV. And I don't think he understood the landscape of Housewives. And with Todd, I'm not taken out of any of this that he does appear to be disinterested in understanding his wife's emotions and caring about them and truly understanding what it is that he signed up for. And I mean, at the end of the day, if he signed that release, that's on him. But he seems to be punishing his wife for doing her job while also saying, I don't respect it. Now, add that to the list of any number of typically former house husbands who reacted with some level of frustration or bitterness or upset when their wives joined the show and they realized this was not going to be necessarily an easy out. There have been any number of husbands, genuinely typically former at this point, who have reacted with some level of disgust about what this show actually is and what it means for potentially their wives to have a voice. It's not going to be pretty. And so if you look at your wife in a certain way, where she's maybe relatively quiet, she leans into supporting you, you guys have your quirks, whatever, you have a relationship, you obviously, I would assume, adore each other, but also she's giving hints that you don't necessarily want to hear her privately when she's sharing her emotions. That doesn't necessarily seem to be a priority in their dynamic. He's just not that kind of guy or not looking for that kind of relationship. Like, I at points I can't make heads or tails of it, but what I can say is, God, this is so stupid and so small, but I have to be honest. There are points where I'm like looking at Bronwyn's social, and she was just in New York. She did an appearance at Van Leeuwen, the one right by 30 Rock, where Bravo HQ is based. with, it was Bronwyn, Angie K, and Mary. And there was a creator event a couple days ago. And I was very thankful to have been invited. So it was myself, some creator pals at this very small ice cream shop. And we got to watch Mary Cosby, Bronwyn, and Angie K serve ice cream to us because Van Leeuwen is doing this new collab with the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. It's a lavender ice cream. And it was honestly delicious. I had just a little taste and really enjoyed it. But Bronwyn has been posting Instagram stories while she's been in town. And I was actually really upset when I found out that after I left, Todd arrived, because I have questions for Todd. I just honestly wanted to watch Todd's energy and get a sense of things. And the way that Bronwyn describes him on the after show, I feel like I've seen several glimpses of in Instagram stories, which is like, guess what? They have a sweet relationship with each other. It is obviously not a perfect one. And there are some real areas here, I think, of concern in how he speaks to her and kind of treats her role on Housewives, which is a big deal. Being cast in the show, guess what, is honestly an accomplishment. There are so many people who are, you know, gunning for getting some kind of position in any number of casts. She did it. She accomplished the thing. This is her thing. And I don't think he respects it. And I don't know how much of that lack of respect comes from a lack of appreciation, a lack of understanding. I don't know what it is. But then I look at Bronwyn's Instagram stories during her trip, her schlep to New York or whatever else. And she does appear to have this like sweet relationship with Todd, where it just feels like the way that they look at each other and seem to be communicating makes sense. Then I watch the show and I'm like, this does not make sense. It feels like he is being incredibly dismissive of her, dismissive of the show itself, which is going to get you nowhere fast. If you come in and it feels like you're being arrogant or belittling about what this quote unquote friend circle is like, you're going to be, the water is going to be hotter for you for as long as your wife stays on the show and or, you know, as long as you stay together, which I don't see that necessarily being an issue for Bronwyn and Todd, but certainly has been for previous couples after they, I mean, we've seen it come out after they've been cast, but obviously a lot of these former relationships, the problem started well before, you know, the spouse joins Housewives and brings her husband along with her. So with Bronwyn and Todd, it to me just felt like this man is applying real world logic, his like business dealing, business sense of things. And I actually felt like in watching their conversation with each other, where he's saying to her, you ruined a nice afternoon. It's your behavior isn't very becoming for you, which that really got me annoyed. That really got me very upset, because a woman is supposed to at all times seem to be becoming and attractive, I guess, not how she physically looks, but just feeling nice and lovely and clean. There's something about it's not just like leave with your dignity, which he also said. It's something about like she's supposed to seem sweet. God forbid she's cutting. God forbid she loses her mind, starts yelling, getting upset. He doesn't get that first off, what she is doing is performing her job as expected, saying the things that people typically think, not at points trying to de-escalate the situation, but actively participate in it, even if it's a fucking mess. And he just doesn't get it. He's... I think kind of mad about what this show is, but we're kind of late on that. Why didn't we watch a single episode? Did we watch any episodes? Is this just a situation of like he signs up because he thinks it's going to be, I don't even know how it was phrased to him, but like maybe escapism or entertaining, or maybe, you know, they've known obviously Lisa and John Barlow for a while. So maybe he's thinking, well, I don't know how well Todd knows them, but like maybe he's thinking, well, if they've been able to do this and it seems to be successful for them, why don't we give it a try? I don't know how much he thought about what it meant to sign up for the show when they signed up for the show, because it really is a family decision at the end of the day. And Lord only knows, he is being dragged, I'm sure, by online, I think just in viewers' minds when we're watching some of this, because it felt tight. That conversation with Todd and Bronwyn, to me, felt tight, and it felt like she was obviously taking in a pretty harsh critique from him, but I didn't get the sense of things that like she would feel comfortable in that moment in pushing back. And also, it felt like he was criticizing her, like she's not rising to the level of the woman he married or whatever else, but like we're not having the opposite conversation to that, which is, are you also doing your job? Are you being protective? Are you supporting me as I kind of figure this stuff out? Or are you just adding to the chorus of people, including people who really truly do not like me, in saying I went too far? She's already getting that from Lisa behind her back at points, and obviously Heather Gay. I don't think she needs to get that kind of criticism at home too. But I wonder if they have the husbands at the reunion, I wonder, number one, if Todd is going to participate. And I also wonder how he feels about the criticism that's been leveled his way, if anyone has actually filled him in. Like, has Bronwyn said to him, like, this isn't going great for you right now? Does that not matter? Are they watching the episodes? Are they not watching the episodes? The trailer, the mid-season trailer shows this like explosive moment. I think it's when the women are on their official cast trip. And there's some sort of call and response between, I think it's Heather and Bronwyn, where it's something about Todd, and Bronwyn's like, well, essentially, you don't know the half of it. You think you're dragging him for thing X, and, you know, it's been so much worse, where I don't know where that is going to lead us. But seemingly in real time, they seem to be doing well. I would be curious, honestly, for Bronwyn's perspective, how much of Todd's behavior on camera is comparable to who he is when they're not filming. Do you feel comfortable having conversations about how you feel? Does he cut down that kind of conversation? Is that not his, like, love language of talking things through? Is he just someone who's not focused on your feelings or on supporting you? Or is it that they've been together for a decade and he feels comfortable saying these things? I mean, I thought it was wounding in the moment. I was like, this isn't great. But then I'm seeing, and I know it's like the filter of life applied through Instagram, whatever else, that it's not, she's not necessarily going to show moments, obviously, of them bickering with each other, but it just felt like there was a tenderness in what I have seen through her Instagram, just between them, where they make so much more sense as a couple, and he seems so much more easygoing. I just wish we saw more of that. And I don't know. If they stay on the show, it's entirely possible that we will. It's entirely possible that he'll settle into this. This could be a Shane Simpson dynamic. It also might not be. And there's no way to know. The only way to know is through time. But it did not seem helpful to Bronwyn to have maybe the beginning of the episode, because then later on when Heather Gay is like, I think your husband sucks, I would assume that a couple viewers would be pulling back to earlier in the episode when he didn't seem to be a great support system to his wife. And that, I think, is a little bit more important than a collection of mugs. God, there was so much in the episode. So we had these moments, like that conversation between Angie K and her father, where they're talking. This is a really intense conversation. I'm sure she prepared him for what they were going to discuss before they filmed, which, if that happened, I absolutely give her credit for. I would hope it would. This man is not a member of the cast. You're talking about very vulnerable things. Who knows how they have discussed that amongst themselves privately, if at all. But the way that she was talking about picking up this necklace of Electra's that was supposed to be representative of her mother and not feeling anything, and then maybe feeling some sense of guilt about not feeling anything, and them having, I felt like just a vulnerable, connective, sad conversation about what she experienced, her feelings of abandonment, her feelings of understanding her mom more after she became a parent, not just about, I want to correct things and give my child what I wish I had, but also I didn't know how hard this was going to be. And maybe my mom just didn't know what it was she was signing up for or how to kind of adapt. And also the way that Angie was talking about her mom's relationship with alcohol and being an alcoholic and saying, listen, I know it's a disease, so I understand aspects of this, but that doesn't remove the trauma that I experienced as a result. It just felt like such an important conversation to have. I mean, when it first happened, I literally had to stop the episode and sob. I was just crying and crying because there's ways that I have felt connected to different housewives. I mean, the LOL, obviously, you know, Shan and I don't know if it's obvious, but I think I've talked about it a couple times, like the broken bird syndrome. That's one of the things that I find myself connected to Shannon about. And with Angie, I don't know that I've seen that conversation communicated in the way that it was on this episode before. I just don't know in recent memory to have that kind of conversation. This is one of those moments of like, this is the value of that show, because you could see people maybe talking about their marriages, their relationships where they're with their kids, where a viewer at home can feel like, yeah, life is complicated and I'm watching someone talk about this and doing so without adding an extra level of shame and just saying like, I'm dealing with some shit right now and it's really hard. I mean, life can be incredibly isolating at moments, especially when you're talking about relationships with family members behind closed doors. And there's something incredibly powerful in watching Angie talk through the process of navigating. She's still a child. She is still going to be her parents' child for the rest of her life. And also now being a parent to Electra. And I mean, Electra's whole LOL at the beginning of the episode, maybe not such an LOL, is like, she feels like, you know, Angie's a helicopter parent. But understanding the reason that Angie wants to be the quote unquote perfect mom, which is, that's an impossible scale to weigh yourself against. But there's a reason behind it. She wants to give her every last thing that she didn't have that she knew she deserved when she was younger. And watching her dad receive that, and he wasn't defensive at all. He acknowledged it. He supported her. And they weren't, it's hard when you think about how to memorialize a person's memory and you add on the layer that nobody is saying, but we're talking about this on camera. And there are only so many glimpses we're going to get into a housewife talking about her childhood. So there's not a lot of extra room to add in nuance and complications, because it can just genuinely be a matter of like literal timing. How much time does a person get in an episode to talk about this? It's a trust game, I think, between cast, production, cast member, family member, themselves, that like, I'm going to share this thing and I'm going to put it out into the universe and we'll see how it's received. Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today.
Black Friday is coming, and for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It just felt so honest and so real and so vulnerable. And I think Angie, who's someone who came into the show and felt like such a caricature, she did. The way that she has grown into this, grown into herself, and just kind of showed herself on this most recent episode, I really respected it. And I was just so thankful as a viewer at home, just feeling like I felt seen in that moment. I was really appreciative for it, and also like needed to spackle myself together, and then thank God continued the episode because we went in crazy places. And speaking of Angie K, her ability at the end of the episode, I mean, this was really a moment of like some of these OGs have met their match, and never would I have thought that Meredith Marks met hers in Angie K, but that is kind of what happened. I think at the end of the episode, I mean, if we were all watching the same show, Meredith did make a, you could call it a threat, of like saying to Angie, I don't want to go backwards, because if we go backwards, it won't be pretty. And Angie and Whitney calling her on it and saying, that sounds like a threat. You're saying, if we go backwards and talk about what actually happened, you're saying that you're going to bring more trouble. The way that Meredith, I mean, this is really manipulation versus miscommunication. The way that she immediately shifted and brought this like almost eerie lightness to her voice and being like, that's not what I meant. What I meant was, you know, if we don't want to go backwards, if we do go backwards, it won't be pretty for anybody. Her tone immediately changed because I don't think she was expecting Angie to call her on what did feel like a threat. And then everything just kind of went to shit. The phone moment I thought was weird. I actually did want to hear more of the podcast clip. I didn't understand Whitney grabbing the phone as aggressively as she did. I thought that was a strange instinct of Whitney. She was trying to help her with the volume, maybe be like, babe, we can't hear you, turn up the volume or something, to just jerk the phone. And I get it was close to her face, but like, sweetie, what are we actually trying to help her? Because it felt like you were trying to like fuck with something in those seconds. So we had that moment. Then we have Angie and Meredith just flat out yelling at each other, and Mary interjecting herself, trying to, I mean, listen, she knew what she signed up for. There was going to be some stuff. It felt like toward the tail end of the episode, at this point in the conversation, it's like, let's just get everything on the table and then move on. I'm sure she had an understanding that this was going to be possibly a typical day of shooting a group scene, which would mean people screaming and throwing things and then everybody eats. And so when they started yelling, I'm sure that Mary was genuinely upset. I think because it was ongoing and went too far, she felt like trying to get a little bit of order back on the table and saying, you know, shut the fuck up or you can leave. I don't think Meredith heard the full sentence. I think she only heard the thing that she said to other people in previous seasons, like, you can go. She only heard Mary saying, you can leave, and felt like this woman is kicking me out after everything I've done for her. So I'm really upset and I feel like I've been betrayed. Do I think that Mary betrayed her? No, I think Mary, maybe not clearly for Meredith, but for probably mostly everybody else at the table, said, shut the fuck up, calm your voices, or you need to leave. I don't think that was a wild thing to say in that moment. And I really honestly feel bad for Meredith and Mary, because if this is the thing that led to the downfall of their friendship, then I guess it wasn't necessarily a significant friendship to begin with, because this does feel like something that could be cleared up over a follow-up lunch. Like, let's grab tea or something. I understand Mary feeling insulted because of Meredith leaving, but if it happened because I'm assuming Meredith didn't hear the full sentence. That's a total assumption. I could absolutely be wrong. But if I'm not, I feel like this is something that could be cleared up. Is this something like, would they both be open to putting on their listening ears at the reunion if this is raised as a question or by Andrew Cohen? Like, is this something that they could both understand of, like, if this is truly what led to the fracture in their friendship? Because I guess they truly do not fuck with each other anymore. I think some of this could be cleared up by Meredith acknowledging that Mary was just trying to get a little bit of order back together, and Mary was acknowledging that Meredith, maybe at a point of upset, didn't want to be screamed at. But also, if everybody's yelling at each other, it's like that Spider-Man meme where everybody's like pointing. If all the Spider-Mans are pointing at each other, I mean, what a tangled web we weave. There can be really truly no winner in this at the end of the day. But also, Angie K, when Meredith was getting up and was like visibly emotional and crying, and Angie K turning to, who was it, Whitney or something, and half laughing, like the way that her hair was, and Angie K looked gorgeous. The way that her hair, though, was like draped over her face, and she felt like it looked like she was catching herself in a laugh of like, Meredith, you can truly go fuck yourself in this moment. Like, this means nothing to me. Angie K. Wow, wow, wow. A star has already been born, but she was born again on this episode. She really was. That and the, you know, Lincoln Versace China. She wasn't all hits. The wine Mormon church group thing. I mean, I understood honestly what Brittany was saying, which is like, yeah, I might drink, but yeah, I'm drinking the man, but bringing wine to a specific church group setting, if it's a group of Mormons, probably, I mean, not probably, isn't appropriate, which doesn't have any, I don't think it has anything to do with like Brittany's choices in drinking. But also, if Angie thought it was a housewarming or something, I forget if that's language she used on the show or the after show, which I just watched, but she does mention at points that at one point that she like brought wine to a housewarming. If Angie thought she was going to a housewarming, that does change things. Then I think it's, of course, entirely appropriate for her to bring a bottle of wine because she knows that Brittany drinks alcohol. But if she knew she was going to a specific family church gathering situation and everybody else there is Mormon, then yeah, I didn't think it was respectful of the event itself. And also, the like, slut-shamey energy of, well, you're fucking three guys or whatever. First off, I thought to myself, who's the third? So finding out there's a new gentleman named Hal in the mix, I would like to see him on camera. I would also like to see the second guy on camera. Brittany's saying she's still talking to that second guy and also the third guy. I need to see more of the non-Jared Osmond suitors, because Jared is just so much bad. And we're just coming out of the John Jansen era on Orange County. So show me something else here in Salt Lake City that isn't so morally repugnant. But yeah, no, I didn't like the immediate, well, you're just too busy fucking or whatever, so you don't have a leg to stand in this scenario. Didn't love that moment from Angie K. Wasn't a total perfect performance from Angie, especially because of that moment. But I mean, I thought incredible episode it was. I really did. I felt like this is one of those things of like, this is a solid week of Housewives content. Beverly Hills is back. Salt Lake City killed it. I lost my fucking mind watching Orange County, which you'll hear about in the next deep dive episode. Truly lost my mind watching Orange County. Couldn't believe Alexis is leaving this show, assuming she's gone, which is a huge assumption. No idea if she is, in a worse position than she had been even a week prior. Didn't know it could get substantially worse for Alexis and also us. And yet here we are in this alternate reality where, you know, bad person stays bad, but somehow I am filled with even more dread as a result. Fascinating television. True hits one 10 out of 10 season of OC. And now we're just riding along with Salt Lake City, and we are trying to acknowledge New York as little as humanly fucking possible in order to make our way through. And I do promise oral friendship contract to catch up on Potomac. Things have been a little hectic and chaotic of recent. And so that is absolutely on my plan for the near future to catch up on Potomac, because she deserves it. Potomac deserves to have a deep dive and have its place in the sun, especially because what I've seen of the season, and I have a couple of weeks to catch up on, has been solid. So I will catch up on it. In the meantime, have you caught up on episodes on the AG Patreon? Number one way to support the pod. There's a two-part deep dive with a Patreon supporter. If you join the premium tier on the AG page, you can have a private Zoom Kiki with me or record a Patreon bonus episode. We had so much fun that it ended up being a nearly 2-hour Patreon episode, two-parter, up now. And, you know, looking back the way I talked about Dorit a couple days ago versus after watching the premiere episode, it's a real before and after moment. It's a real, how is this coming from the same person? Couldn't tell you. That's also probably my descriptor of Dorit. So we're all on our own individual new journeys. Thank you to Dorit Kemsley for giving me almost whiplash in thinking I was going to really not like you in the premiere and then just nodding my head. So you can listen to that episode now at patreon.com/andysgirls. Send me your satchels of gold. Last call. Your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns. Named in honor for Holiness Kelly Clorne Ben Simone about all things Housewives, New York, Potomac. And I'll get to it after I watch those episodes, because she deserves to be discussed, deserves to be unpacked. What else is there? New York, LOL, Salt Lake City, Orange County, BH. Let me know how you're feeling. Please include your first name in town. You can slide into my DMs on Instagram at Dame Galley, or send me a thesis at andysgirlsshow@gmail.com. And thanks so much for listening to this episode. I felt like I was all over the place. That is just where I am at this point in my life. So hopefully 16% of it made sense, which feels like a high percentage. I'm feeling hopeful in that. And thanks for listening, for being along with me on this merry little ride. And I will think more about Orange County and chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Friday is coming. And for the adults in your life who love the coolest toys, well, there's something for them this year, too. Bartesian is the premier craft cocktail maker that automatically makes more than 60 seasonal and classic cocktails, each in under 30 seconds at the push of a button. And right now, Bartesian is having a huge site-wide sale. You can get $100 off any cocktail maker or cocktail maker bundle when you spend $400 or more. So, if the cocktail lover in your life has been good this year, or the right kind of bad, get them Bartesian. At the push of a button, make bar-quality cosmopolitans, martinis, Manhattans, and more. All in just 30 seconds. All for $100 off. Amazing toys aren't just for kids. Get $100 off a cocktail maker when you spend $400 through Cyber Monday. Visit bartesian.com/cocktail. That's bartesian.com/cocktail.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.